the beginning, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Grumo Guild podcast. I'm your host, Scotty, as always. And today I'm joined by Sarah Jane for a little discussion about secular art and artworks of faith. Most of my exposure of art of faith came from my grandma, Ruthie Sinclair, which I think a lot of you know. And through my continuing experiences here at the Guild, I didn't grow up in a church-going family, so I'm still figuring out what liturgical and worshipful art is and what it means for me. Sarah Jane, what is your church background, and what are your views on secular versus liturgical art?
I grew up loosely Methodist and then got involved with the evangelical movement when I was in high school and college, and have since kind of moved away from that. So I still consider myself a Christian, but maybe kind of a recovering evangelical.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Those are fighting words here.
Oh, yeah. So I guess my understanding, I feel like secular is a little bit of a false category. I think that there is art that is explicitly sacred, and the example that we used in our earlier conversation was a communion chalice, mm-hmm. Something that is specifically made to be a part of a worship experience and really, really is designed explicitly for that purpose and not for anything else. Although Scotty immediately pointed out, yeah, but you know, you could use a communion chalice just to drink anything else.
Well, it only becomes a communion chalice when you use it for communion,
exactly.
Right? It's just a chalice. It's
exactly.
An elevated bowl, a drinking
well,
vessel.
And I may out myself as being a little bit sacrilegious here, but I have some chalices that were part of a commission I made, and they were seconds. They didn't come out really well. And I actually use one of those as a cat dish at home.
Well,
I don't know what to say about that. So I do think context plays a big part in what makes something sacred. But I also think that for a person of faith, that doesn't end when you walk out the doors of the church. And so everything that you experience in life has the potential to, reveal something of the divine. And so everything has the potential to be sacred. And, I think oftentimes secular art takes on issues that maybe are uncomfortable or we're not willing to take on in the church.
So you were saying that secular art sometimes tackles issues that the church is a little bit uncomfortable with?
Yeah. I think that sometimes we have a really narrow boundary around what we think is appropriate to put in the church.
Mm.
And I don't always think that that's a problem. I think that I feel really strongly that there are some subjects that people should not be forced to encounter if they're not ready for them. And
like
so
what kind of encounters would that be?
I would say explicit sexuality is one.
Okay.
The church is a place where you have people of all ages, and you have people maybe who are survivors of sexual assault, sexual abuse. And I don't think that it's appropriate to put something that deals with those issues in a really explicit way.
Okay.
In a place where people can't make an informed decision for themselves about whether they're in a place where they want to encounter that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are lots of issues like that. I think things about violence and war, things that can be triggering for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the church really needs to be a safe place for all people and a welcoming place for all people.
Mm-hmm.
And art can be difficult in that way.
Art can be difficult in that way, but isn't that one of the things that art does so well is help communicate and work through those difficulties?
Absolutely. And I think that often visual art in particular, because it bypasses words and language, sometimes can approach issues that are really difficult to put into words or that words can be really polarizing. And visual art can kind of step around that and get at the experience of something in a way that's welcoming to people that maybe are coming from really different perspectives.
Yeah, visual art can definitely help us understand and work through difficult issues and ideas without words that can get in the way. Do you think that secular art is better at this than liturgical or religious art?
I don't even know about that. I actually think it's one of the places where quote-unquote secular art takes on maybe more of a sacred function.
Okay.
That even if something is not appropriate to be exhibited in the sanctuary of a church, because it might be difficult for some of the people that come in there, it might actually make that an unsafe place for some people. On the other hand, for folks that are wrestling with some of those subjects or maybe looking for some healing and some resolution, that art can have a really sacred function in their lives.
What I'm hearing here is that there's not a real hard line. There's not a stopping point between what is liturgical art and what is secular art. It's more of a spectrum.
That might be a good way to put it. I think for me, the only thing that I see as liturgical art are objects that are specifically designed for a worship space and to mm-hmm. be part of a worship experience.
Okay.
Everything else, which absolutely might be displayed in a church. Most of the artwork in our traveling show, for example, is not made to be displayed in a church. Mm-hmm. We put together a group of artwork that we felt would be powerful and meaningful if it were displayed in a church. And so I think all of those things, they're sacred to people that are open to that. And maybe to someone who doesn't have much of a spiritual life or is not especially attuned to that, they might be more quote unquote secular. Mm-hmm. But I don't really see a separation there.
So maybe I'm using the wrong term. Maybe liturgical arts is not the word I'm looking for. Maybe spiritual. I mean, if we could even pigeonhole a little bit further, even Christian art.
But what is Christian art?
Well, what is Christian art?
Well, I'm not sure that I know.
Yeah.
There's art certainly that looks at stories from the Bible or stories from the life of the church that we might look at it and be like, oh, that's an image that has Jesus in the middle of it. So it seems like quote unquote Christian art. On the other hand, there are plenty of artists who don't have a life of faith who've appropriated that imagery and used it in really powerful ways in their own work.
Mm-hmm.
And there certainly is lots of work that addresses a life of faith that doesn't have any kind of recognizable imagery in it.
No actual symbolism in
it. No symbolism or nothing that somebody would look at and say, oh, like, well, that's overtly Christian. So I'm not really sure where even to think about drawing that line.
So would it be fair to say that the viewer really dictates whether the art is spiritual?
I don't think either the viewer or the artist alone can dictate that.
Oh, so it's a relationship.
I do think it's a relationship. And I see it almost as a dialogue. That when I look at a work of art, it's almost like that physical object becomes a mediator in a conversation between me and the person who created it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're bringing their intentions, their decisions, their creative practice to that.
Yeah.
And then I'm bringing my own interpretation, which may have some of my own biases. I might see something in that the artist never intended. I might see something in that would be very troubling to the artist, in fact, if they knew what I was thinking as I was viewing their work.
Well, that's one of the dangers of, or not one of the dangers, but one of the hazards of being an artist is that once you finish your piece and you put it out into the world, it's up to everybody to interpret and look at.
Well, and I think I have a preference for artwork that is a little bit open-ended that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very attracted to artwork that leaves some space for the viewer's own interpretation to blossom and flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that really excellent artwork can do that.
Yeah.
And it invites us to be a part of the conversation, an active part, instead of just kind of sitting back and having the artwork dictate what we're supposed to think as we're viewing it.
So do you think that there's a place in the church to have art that leaves those open-ended questions?
Absolutely. And I actually think that it's really important for there to be some places like that in the church. I think that it helps to break down the hierarchy of you need to believe this because the Bible says it and that's just the way it is. And I think that there needs to be some space for people to wrestle with issues of faith, maybe disagree about certain issues of faith, and to bring a multiplicity of different experiences to the table. I think that we as a community are wiser and better informed and make better decisions when we hear the perspectives of a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And so having some open-ended art in the church creates a space for people's different experiences to come into play.
So do you think for a piece of art to be displayed in a worship space that the artist needs to create that piece with that space in mind?
I think in some instances it can help, but I certainly don't think that it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of works of art that maybe are created without a specific location in mind. I do think, just in my own experience as a maker of things, it is helpful to know a little bit about the space where it's going to be displayed and how that space is used or what the general demographic of the people that are in that space, those things do inform some of the decisions that I make in making a work of art.
How do you see the role of the community in the worship space coming together and making art for the worship space? Do you think that's important?
I think it's really important. I think that the members of the congregation, the people that are there full time, have a particular perspective on the identity of that community and congregation and what's most meaningful to them in worship and what symbols really speak to them. I think that it's something that no outside artist can necessarily really connect with all of that in the same way that somebody who's on the inside and experiencing that on a regular basis. It can be a challenge too, because depending on the congregation, sometimes you'll have a congregation that has people who are really enthusiastic and really interested in taking part in making a collaborative art piece. But if you don't have somebody with some experience to kind of just guide that process, sometimes you wind up making things that don't actually communicate what you want them to. Or maybe they inadvertently communicate something that in fact contradicts what you want them to. Mm. I love when a congregation can maybe work alongside a professional artist.
Yeah.
And get some guidance in just tailoring how to express something visually, but the congregation really gets a lot of input in what the symbolism should be and what would be most meaningful to them in their community and their space. I think that there's a place for sacred art, not just in designated churches or other worship spaces, but also in people's homes, in their workplace, in other spaces that are not reserved exclusively for worship. And I think about, you know, part of our summer schedule this year, Larkin Van Horn is going to be offering this class, Creating a Personal Altar. And the idea of having a personal altar in your home or another designated space so that you bring some of the sacred into your living space is really interesting. And I think that sometimes the kinds of artwork that can be appropriate for that are different than what would be appropriate in a church, particularly maybe if you work in a place where not everybody shares your faith. You don't want necessarily a giant crucifix on your desk or something that's going to make other people uncomfortable. But at the same time, maybe you do want something that for you personally is a reminder of your faith. And that as a person of faith, that should be present for you in all aspects of your life and not just on Sunday morning when you're in church.
Well, I really see beauty as a holy thing. And so when I see beautiful works of art or powerful works of art, that always resonates with me as being very holy, regardless of their subject matter. And even in artwork that has darker themes, there is a lot of darkness in the world. And there is a lot of space within that darkness for the holiness. And I think it's really important not to just focus on the beautiful things, but focus on the powerful things.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is powerful.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for many of us, probably some of the times that we most experience the presence of God is in the really dark times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for me personally, when my father was dying, those last few days with my dad, it felt like we were walking on holy ground. Everything that we did, it was a really sacred time. And I've not made a lot of art about that, but I think anything that I made out of that experience would have that sense of divine presence in it, because that was so much a part of that experience for me.
Well, Sarah Jane, thank you for coming and talking about this with our listeners and myself. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you found this podcast insightful and enjoyable. And if you have any questions or want to weigh in on this, please email me at scott@grunewaldguild.com. I'd love to hear from you. Also, look for us on iTunes. Yeah, the Grunewald Guild podcast is on iTunes now. And you can search for us, subscribe to us, leave a comment, rate us, and that would help us out a lot to get the word spread. And if this podcast has piqued your interest in liturgical arts, don't forget, coming up April 26th through May 2nd, we have Liturgical Arts Week here at the Grunewald Guild. There is still room available in most classes, so go to our website under current events and you will find that listing. We have a couple really cool classes. I'm teaching a liturgical ceramics class. We have Liz, who is teaching a liturgical weaving class. And Scott Burnett, a new faculty person to the Guild, is teaching a sketch, journal, and spirit class, which I think is going to be really great. So hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening.